Amen. Say this, say, today, I will advance in my understanding of grace, never to return to my old way of living. I pray in the spirit about it. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Never to return to our old way of living, God. We'll advance today. Never to return. Never to return to our old way of living. Come on, you got to pray about it. I know Apostle ain't up here right now, but you better pray. This is for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know Apostle ain't up here, but he up here. I can walk in what he in because I'm connected to him, amen? So I want you to pray just as loud as you pray any other time. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
Say this. Say, years of failure, will be converted into consistent victory by the proper use of my faith. Pray in the spirit about it. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Come on, pray about it. Come on, stir up the gift. In Jesus' name. Amen. We pray you may be seated. Amen. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. I got everybody today. I went out to sing praise and worship. And I opened up service. And I know everybody be looking for that little microphone. They're trying to see the little mic on to see who preaching this morning. I got everybody. I got all the staff here, but ain't nobody know. Praise the Lord. I said, praise. I'll say it again. I said, praise. Gotcha. Ephesians chapter 2. I am utterly excited and completely grateful about this revelation about grace through faith. By grace through faith. I thank God for Apostle. Hold on. I'm gonna say it again so you can do it right this time. I thank God for Apostle. I thank God for Apostle. I'm appreciative. You may be seated. Those of you who decide to stand up, you may be seated. I'm appreciative of Apostle. I'm appreciative of government. It puts things in order. You know, for so long, we've been in church for so many years, and we've been hearing so much about the principles of God, the promises of God, everything God has for us, but yet we haven't been seeing many results. Amen. Anybody can say amen on that? It seems like we should be seeing more than we've been seeing. Right? Well, I'm expecting more. I'm expecting God to do more. But sometimes that government, this is why government is important. Many churches across the nation have no government. They're trying to operate as pastors, they're trying to operate as evangelists, they're trying to operate in all these different gifts, and they don't have the government lined up with the apostolic. So because it's not lined up, there's no order, and because there's no order, sometimes you may have different things from God, but they're out of place because there's no order. We've been hearing about grace for years, haven't we? Tell the truth, we've been hearing about grace. Amazing. We've been hearing about grace for years. So we knew about grace. We knew about the gesture of live by We knew we can quote these things back and forth, so we had them. But without them being in order or going in the proper direction, you won't get any manifestation. Without them being in order and knowing what they're for and how to place them in your lives, you'll never be able to receive. It's almost like a kink in the hose. You ever, like a water hose, you got a kink in it, and so the water, you get a little bit of water dripping, right? But it's not the pressure that you're supposed to have. You don't get the push or the force that you're supposed to have because it's just twisted up a little bit. But when you straighten it out, you get the flow. Amen. Everybody say, by grace, by grace, through faith. Come on, say it again. By grace, by grace, through faith. Come on, say it again. By grace, by grace, through faith. Now, the reason that we're going over this, we're going to read the same scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. The reason that we have to go over this, because number one, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith has to be shifted in a place to where you connect it to grace and not everything else you've been putting it in. Listen to me. And it's going to be a retooling. You have to retool. We're going to read the scripture today. You almost have to forget everything you know and get this new mind, get this new understanding so you get this new manifestation. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and this is our main scripture. This scripture connects the whole Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, you read it, ready, read. Read it again. Ready, read. Read it again. Listen to me. Look at me. By grace you are saved. Through faith. It's not of yourselves. But what is it? The gift of God. Now, what do you do with gifts? Receive it. So now I'm going to say it again, and I know we've been going over it for weeks, but I'm saying it because I want to get it through our heads. Many times in church, and I know even in Word of Faith, we learn the work gospel. We learn you got to do it. Work the word, right? Remember that? Work the word. You got to do it. Do step 1 through 10, and then it's going to be a manifestation. If you get this together, this is going to be a manifestation. But yeah, you got that together, one through 10, and you still ain't see nothing. By grace, you are saved. Let me deal with saved real quick. Saved when we say saved, we jump on Christian. Saved means you are delivered. Delivered from what? Whatever you need deliverance from. Saved means you've been taken up out of a place where you once were doomed, all right? You brought out of that. So by grace, you were taken out of that place through faith. It's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Read the next scripture, verse 9. Not of what? Works. Not of works, lest man should boast. Now, I say this over and over again because I know it to be the truth. Anything that you think you've done, you're going to boast about it. What's the last thing you made? Now, literally, like, you know, we boast about a lot of different things. We cook, we make a cake, and we done boasted about it because everybody talking about how good it was. Right? You done put on your suit and you got dressed, and now you boast about it because you think you fresh. Right? Come on. It's automatically understood that if you had anything to do with it, you would boast about it. The nicest person in the room, the most humble person in the room, if they had something to do with their own salvation, they would boast about it. So it's not a works. I see you, Elton. It's not a works. Lest man should boast. Because if it was your work, you would boast. So it's not about you. Come on, say it's not about me. Come on, say it again. Say it's not about me. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not about you either. It's not of works. It's not of works. It's not of your work. It's not of your doing. It doesn't come of, not of. Everybody say, of works. Come on, say it again. Say, of works. Come on, say it again. Say, of works. So does that mean, Montrell, because I already got it, everybody say, I already got it. To give you the rest of you who may not have been in on message, everything that's already that we need has already been done for us. God has done everything He's going to do for us already. He's already set it right there for us for the receiving. Amen. So if it's already been done, it's not a works, because we're going to boast, right? Then does that mean that I don't have to do any work? Everybody say of works. Say not of works. Come on, say it again. Say not of works. Come on, say it again. Say not of works. Go over to Philippians chapter 3. Better yet, chapter 2. Because this stuck out to me this morning. Go to chapter 2. We'll go to chapter 3 next. Go to chapter 2. And I'll start off with verse 1 just for some reading. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Are y'all with me? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. Verse 4, look not unto every man on his own things, but every man unto the things of others. Verse 5, this is our favorite. I'm going to let you read it together. Read it. Ready, read. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made into the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Are y'all with me? But verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye is you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Oh, y'all, come on, you gotta look at your Bible. You see it? It's not a works. But right here it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Read the rest of that scripture. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I thought he said it's not of works. I thought he says by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. All right. I thought he said not of works, lest man should boast. So what is he talking about? Work out your own salvation. What does it mean to work out your own salvation? What does it mean? So do I have to do work or do I not have to do work? Yeah, you got to do work, but it's not of your work. Right. You've been working for 40 years and ain't nothing happened. It ain't going to come from your work. It is of grace. Everybody say of grace. Come on, say it again. Of grace. Come on, say it again. Of grace. See, the manifestation of deliverance is of grace. It is already there. So now my work, what's my work? What's my work? What's my work, Brian? My work is I take my faith and connect it to the grace that's already all around me. One thing you got to understand, Apostle said something the other night when we were in Newport News. He said something about the seed, and it made me think about something. He said, grace is in the seed and in you. So that made me understand, because we thought grace was just in the harvest. We thought that was grace manifesting itself. But grace is in the seed and in the harvest and in you. That means grace is all around you. Everywhere you turn, there's grace. Everywhere you move, grace is surrounding you to make you manifest in the way that it wants you to manifest. But what are you? How are you working? Where's your work? Now, I made this statement, and I was preaching to our Generation Salvation. And grace is all around. Everybody say grace is all around me. And I'll get back to the word. Grace is all around me. Say it again. So grace is all around me. It surrounds me. It encompasses me. It's a grace sandwich. We in the middle, all right? It's all around me. But the effect of grace is determined by the work that you put in. Listen to me. How you working? Which direction are you working in? Grace can do one of two things. Grace can take you and advance you in life and make you way more, make you manifest way more than you could have done on your own. Our grace can be making you bare minimum because you got faith going the wrong way. The right way, the wrong way. Grace is all around. Now, if your works, your actions, you know, faith without works, but faith without works is what? So that means you show me faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. The scripture. Yeah. So that means faith got to have some work. All right, you get it? So faith without works is dead. So now which way is your faith going? Which way are you working towards? Do you have more faith in that job? Do you have more faith in that relationship? Do you have more faith in that habit that you got than you have in the grace of God? Or in God's way of doing things? Which way is your faith going? Now what faith does, if I put my faith in sin, if I put my faith in doing the wrong thing, if I put my faith in going the wrong way, grace is there, but grace is there just to try to cover me in my sinful moments. But it's still doing what it's supposed to do. But it can't do more for you because your faith is being shot in the wrong direction. Grace is always there. Say it. Come on, say it again. Say, grace is always there. Come on, say it again. Grace is always there. But which way are you shooting your faith? I found out something. I was reading a scripture in Ephesians 5, and it started talking about wives submit to your husbands, and husbands love your wives. And at the beginning of the chapter, it starts talking about fornication, adultery, and all these different things. But then at the end of it, he says, but this is a great mystery. Then he said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's really trying to check your relationship out with him. He's trying to see which way are you shooting your faith. Ronnie, I realized something, that whatever way I shoot my faith, that's what's going to manifest for me. Now, truth be told, can I tell the truth? If I can tell the truth, say yeah. Truth be told, ain't no individual person, ain't no job, ain't no business, ain't no, you can name all the stuff that we be looking for, all the stuff that we work our lives for, all the stuff that we make more important than the word of God, right? All these different things, ain't none of that got enough to manifest what God wants you to have. I don't care what kind of job you get. I don't care what kind of office that you hold. I don't care where you think you are. None of it is enough to manifest what the grace of God wants to manifest for you. But which way are you shooting your faith? My faith without works is dead. So I mean, my work, whatever I'm working towards, means that's what I'm putting my faith towards. Whatever I'm working towards the most is where my faith is going the most. Whatever I'm putting my action towards the most, what am I listening to the most? Faith comes by. We don't have to go to the scriptures, you know that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing. What are you hearing the most? See, the manifestation of all these dreams and things that we want to manifest, it's not God's problem. It's not God's fault that it's not happening. God has already done it. God has put it right. You're closer. Watch this. You're closer than you think. It's right there. It's all around you. But now, which direction are you reaching your faith in? We get caught up. The Bible talks about the cares of this world. And deceitful riches and the lust of this world. And the kids, when you get to the word lust, you don't start talking about things all sexual. No, lust just means wanting something other than what God wants for you. When you want some things that God didn't supply for you. Or you want some things, but you want to get them another way than how God wants you to get them. That's when it's lustful. The cares of this world. How often are we caught up? 2 Corinthians, real quick, and then we'll get back to this. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to put that pressure on. Everybody say that pressure. Come on, everybody say that pressure. I'm going to put that pressure on this morning because pressure is to bust a pipe and make a diamond. We ain't playing no games. Second Corinthians chapter 11. And we read the scripture, man. It's amazing how things can open up when you're looking in the right direction. Or when you're looking at things properly. It's stuff that you've been reading for years. Can you tell the truth? You've been reading these scriptures for years, but now you think about by grace through faith, and stuff just start opening. Oh, that's what that means. Oh, that's why that's easy. Oh, that's what he means when he say my yoke is easy. Now I get it. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Look at that scripture again. Look at it. Read it. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Read it. Read it out loud. Everybody read. Ready, read. So your mind, now we just talked about let this mind be in you, but so your minds be corrupted from the simplicity. Everybody say it's simple. Come on, say it louder. Say it's simple. Come on, say it louder. Say it's simple. That we be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It is a very simple thing that God has asked us to do. He didn't ask us to die on the cross, did he? Come on, did he ask you to die? The only person that had to die and get beat and all that stuff and go through all that pain was Jesus Christ for us. That's grace. Everybody say that's grace. Come on, say it again. That's grace. He's not asking to jump over many hurdles. He's not asking to do anything. He just says, connect your faith to my grace. The simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. But beware, lest the serpent. We know who he is, huh? Like the serpent, just like he did Eve in the beginning. Y'all remember the story about the beginning, huh? You remember that the Garden of Eden was perfect. God made it. He said it was good. Everything was fine. Ain't no animals was attacking nobody. Nobody was in lack. Nothing was gone. Everything was perfect. But here comes the serpent. And he said the subtlety. I read in a translation that says the pitter-patter of the beat. It's like the, you know, when the groove get on and you just get in the groove and then now you know all the words, but you ain't know how you knew all the words because all you knew about was the groove. You ever had that song happen before? A song you ain't really liking, you ain't really care for the words, but the groove was. So you got in the groove and before you knew all the words. I just like the beat. Y'all know, the devil was the chief worshiper. He was the chief musician. Pitter-patter. The bongos, the pitter-patter, right? And so you gone now. It's almost like snake charming. And you gone, and you know the words. Before you know it, they didn't. You ever heard the? I keep going. You ever heard the little fairy tale about the Pied Piper? He just piped all the little children away, just play the music, and just take them over the way he want to. Just make you dance on over there. The subtlety of the enemy. Remember, he's a deceiver. Y'all remember that, right? Y'all know he's not gonna show up with horns and a pitchfork. I'm the devil. He's not going to do that. They say he show up like an angel of light. He looked like what you think you're supposed to need. Everybody say beware. Come on, say it loud. Say beware. Do your hands like me. Say beware. Listen. We got to watch out. Got to watch out. Now, mind you, he's defeated already. I'm not talking about being afraid. But you got to keep your eyes open and your head on a swivel. And you got to know what's going on. Amen. So be well, because it's subtlety. He's subtlety. You know, we'll go back there. In the beginning, he said, God told him, he said, listen. He said, all this is yours. He said, have dominion. Every herb bearing seed over the animals, just have dominion. He said, you can do it all. He said, but there's one thing. Don't eat from that tree. Over in the middle of the garden. The tree of knowledge of good. But it had another tree called the tree of life. Everybody say the tree of life. Come on, say it again, the tree of life. There was another tree, but he said, you can do everything you want, but just don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just don't, come on, that's all you got to do. It's one thing. One thing is needful. Just don't eat of that tree. Pitter-patter. And the beast, surely you ain't going to die. Surely you ain't going to die. Surely you ain't gonna die. Surely you ain't gonna die. You can eat it. Surely you ain't gonna die. Surely you ain't gonna die. So Eve over there, don't die. I can eat it. Surely the Adam over there in the back like this. Eve ain't gonna die. I can eat it. And before you know it, they dance with the fruit. Surely I ain't gonna die. Here, you take some. Surely, yeah. Boom. Out of a little two-step dance and a little rhyme, the curse has entered into the world. Subtlety. Everybody say subtlety. Come on, say the subtlety. The pitter-patter. And so the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I thought about it one time. I said, well, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know, and I knew it was inherently bad because what the Bible said. But one time I said, well, it's good to know the difference between knowledge of evil, good and evil, right? It's good to know the difference between good and evil, right? That don't mean nothing because it don't matter if you know the knowledge of good and evil if you don't know how to overcome. What's the point of knowing good and evil if you can't have life? So the enemy, everybody say the enemy, that dirty dog. He's a deceiver, and he tries to trick you and to make you think that you're okay, that you're all right. I'm doing good. I'm doing good right now. It don't take all that. I ain't got to pray that much. Why I got to read these scriptures? Why I got to turn in this group me and send these prayers in? Prayer group, it don't take all that much. They come to prayer every Monday. Always got to be at church. I got to be there on Wednesday too. It don't take all that. Surely you ain't going to die. Surely. You ain't going to never forget that. Surely you ain't going to die. And it's even a trick because after they ate the fruit, they still walked off. Looked like they still was living, huh? It looked like they were still alive, huh? It looked like life was just normal because they didn't say they broke out with leprosy. They just went and got dressed. So it's a trick. So you know knowledge of good and evil. Every day you got a chance to figure out what tree you're eating from. Every moment, listen to me, it's not over. Every moment, you got a chance to figure out what tree you're eating on. Now, God didn't put us back into the Lord told me the other day, he said when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, you know, and the curtain cracked and the ground cracked, remember all that happened? And everything, and we were sanctified, everything became new, right? God said, I'll put everything back in the Garden of Eden at that moment. I brought everything back to like it was in the beginning. No, y'all don't get it because you feel like you don't see it right now. No, he said, when Jesus rose, I'll put everything back like it was in the beginning. I put everything back. But the problem that we deal with, that curse part of it, is the knowledge of good and evil. You still trying to figure it out. There's a knowledge of good and evil moment every time. Look, watch this. You know the scripture, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is, well, that sounds like you eat of that tree, you should surely die, right? It's the same thing. There's a way when something comes up in your life, or you need something to manifest, or you need to make a decision, trust me, that carnal mind is going to come up with an answer. It's going to come up with it quick. Quick. I'm talking about, boom, let's do this. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. But you got to find out, where's the life, or do I just know the difference between good and evil? Where's the life? Everybody say, where's the life? Come on, say it again, say, where's the life? Come on, say it again, say, where's the life? So we got to know that. The only way we know that is through the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. The only way we know that is by leading of the Holy Ghost. To rely on. Let me tell you what you're doing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you're reading the word, this grace, I'm saved already by grace through faith. Through my faith. I took my belief and I connected to the fact that Jesus died on the cross for me. I connected my faith to the fact that Jesus has paid it all for me. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, I am saved because I connected my faith to the grace that's already there. So when you're praying, can I help you with your devotion time? When you're praying and you're reading the word of God, you're not doing that for God. When you're praying, I know we used to with the youth, and then a lot of times the church, people feel like you got to do too much, and you feel like, well, I got to pray, and you want to do everything else. You want to go to the game, you want to watch the show, you want to go eat. You sit in your group meet, I pray for an hour, but you did everything else for the other 23. Everybody say pressure. Pressure. Come on, say it again. Say pressure. Pressure. Come on, say it again. Say pressure. How much time you put? See, what you're doing when you're reading and praying in the Holy Ghost is you're changing your understanding. God ain't got to change. And he don't need nothing from you. God is God alone with or without you. Whether you move or not, he's already done it. Whether you do something or not, God has already supplied it for you. He's put it right there in front of you. But you know, I could put $1 billion in your bank, but if you don't never go to the ATM, you ain't gonna never get no money. If you don't never learn your PIN number, if you don't never know the account number, then you can never receive from what I done already put in there for you. So the truth of the matter is, it's already in there for you. But when you're reading and you're praying in the Holy Ghost, and when you're reading these books, and when you're reading these things, you're putting that pressure on, you're changing your language. We still got some of that knowledge of good and evil language in us. We've got to change to life. Remember, faith comes by. So whatever you're putting in, that's what you got faith for. So what you putting in the most? I go to your life. Well, we can't see it at church because when we come in at church, everybody put it on. Don't we? Come on, amen. We put yeah, good morning. We put it on. We don't really know what's going on at your house. But something going on at your house. The reason that's probably going on because you got your faith in something else other than God's will and his grace for you to manifest. Guarantee you, if you broke, you got your faith in some brokenness. If you broke, you got your faith in something. You're trying to make something else supply for you when God has already supplied. Guarantee. Whatever the problem is in your life, the only reason is because your faith is going in the wrong direction. Wherever you shoot your faith in, that's where you're going to have the baby at. Whatever direction you shoot your faith in, that's what's going to manifest. Them shows you're watching. Listen, I ain't got nothing against nobody. I ain't got nothing against nobody. I love everybody. I'm not trying to make life hard for you. I'm not trying to tell you what you can or can't do. You can. It's all freedom. Everybody say freedom. One of the things about God is freedom. Everybody say freedom. It's freedom. You free to make your own choices. But you're also free to get your tail beat if you go the wrong way. Wherever you put your faith, that's what you manifested from. Some of you got your faith in them jobs. Them jobs ain't gonna never pay you enough to be what God wants you to be. I heard a pastor say the other day, they pay you enough for you to come back Monday. They know what they're doing. They know what your number is. Where are you putting your faith? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, I got a group of young people, and a few of them I'm doing it. Well, we've been reading books. We've been reading all the apostle books, and we read a chapter a day. I got them reading a chapter a day. That's on top of your group, me, and your prayers. I got them reading the chapter that we read, and then we read another chapter out of the book a day. Some of them in ministry school. I'll be pushing everybody to go to ministry school. I ain't going to push all y'all right now, but I'll be pushing everybody. Because wherever you put your action towards, whatever you put your faith in, it'll expand in that direction. Remember this, what you focus on expands. Listen to me. Everybody say pressure. Pressure. Come on, everybody say pressure. Pressure. Now you might feel like I'm saying too much. Well, it is too much. It's too much. You need to do too much. Some people talking about you over the top. You doggone right. It's better than being under the bottom. It's that pressure. Because we're changing our language. See, we don't quite know. I know you've been in church for a long time, but we don't quite know how to speak that grace language yet. If we knew how to speak it, we'd be able to walk it. If we knew how to speak it, it'd be manifested in our life. But we all got some more manifestation to manifest. Amen? Come on, see, I don't get on all that. Is it manifested? Because if it ain't, you got work to do. I don't care how long you've been preaching. I don't care what ministry school you went to. I don't care how long you've been saved. If it ain't manifesting, like God says it's supposed to manifest in the Bible, you got somewhere to go. You got some changes to make. You got some increase to do. So my praying and my reading is not duty. It's not a duty required by God. It's for me to change my language and to change my mind and to renew my mind so that I can go in the right direction, so that my faith can be appropriated to the right things. I tell you something about apostles. The reason it seems like everything he put his hands to works is because it does. But the reason that's happening, because his faith is totally appropriated towards God. Oh, no. No, it's totally appropriated towards God. He ain't got nothing else. Ain't no side company. Ain't no book royalties that's making, because all the royalties go back to the ministry. Ain't nothing else. It's totally by the will of God and the vocation whereby he was called. It's all by what God has called him to do, and he put his total faith in God concerning that. So God says, okay, you can have it all then. There's a scripture. Go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And we've been knowing this scripture for a long, 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 long time. But it really put that pressure on me one day when I read it. Is it Luke 12? I'm at the wrong scripture. Yeah, Luke chapter 12, verse 48. So you say, well, how long I got to pray? How much of myself do I have to give? How much of my time belongs to God? How much I got to do? Now, remember, this is not an exchange. This is not like you paying $5 for a sandwich, you get a sandwich back. No. Remember, we're not playing commerce with God. How much I got to do? How much I got to put in? How much of my free time? How much of my free time do I have to use? Free time. Verse 40 says, but he that knew not. Well, let me go back verse 40. 46, the Lord of the servant will come in a day when he looketh not to him, and will hour when he's not aware, and will cut him up in the sun, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Lord. Verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. I'll read the next line. Read it. Ready, read. And read the rest of it. To whom much is given, what happened? So we do the mathematical formula. Whatever you're given, the scripture, if we base it by the Bible, that's the Bible, ain't it? Yeah. You see it, it's in red, right? Yeah. Is it in red? But that means just who that's talking. Okay. So he know what he's talking about, okay. Then it says, to whom much is? So for much, you require much. For much, much is required of you. Y'all see the formula, right? I give you two, you give me two back. Huh? I give you five, give me five back. Right? I give you one, give me one back, because whatever I gave you, that's what I require of you. Well, how much was given to us? I wait. How much was given to us? I want everybody to say it in the church, because sometimes we don't say things sometimes because now it starts demanding things of us. Quiet in the church. I like quiet church. I love it. How much was given to us? All of it? Can we, by a show of hands in this house, realize that it was all given up for us? All of it was given. Come on. All of it, right? All of it was given to us? So how much is required? All of it. He wants it all. No, he don't want your church portion. or your spiritual part. He wanted. God don't compartmentalize. He don't separate your house time from your church time. All of that is his time. When apostle may call you to, he may call a meeting. He called a meeting last Monday. Or he put that pressure on for you to come on Wednesday night, right? Or he tell you, come on, you need to be at church. That ain't for him. That's for you. He's trying to teach you how to give your all. So it makes me understand. It makes me understand why we haven't been manifesting more, because we haven't been putting in more. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, you sow sparingly, you'll. That's what he was talking about. You sow bountifully, you'll. Because the sower soweth the word. That's what he was talking about. So if I only put in a little, then I can only reap a little of what's already been provided for me. So although all things have been provided, my life only reaping a little because I'm putting in a little. You want things to change? You've got to change. You want more? You've got to give more. To whom much is given, much is required. So to whom all is given. Now the Lord showed me something. He showed me something. Can I show you something? That seems difficult. That part seems difficult. I can give it all up. And you get to choking. Some of y'all need to get some water right now because you're just a little nervous about giving it all up. That pressure. Everybody say that pressure. That seemed a little hard. How do I give all? Lord told me something. He said, he told me this just this morning. He said, listen, I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you two scriptures. He said, you ready? He said, I ain't asking for much, but I want it all. Don't seem like it makes sense, huh? I ain't asking. Then he told me this morning. He told me this morning, tell me two scriptures. He said, I ain't asking for much, but I want it all. Matthew chapter 6. Go there real quick. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. One of our favorite ones. Go there quick. And then we're going to go to another one. Y'all thought it got hard just now. It's not simple no more because I got to give it all. No, it's still simple. It's still simple. More simple than you understand. But your understanding has to change. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is our favorite. Go ahead and read it. Ready, read. How many of these things?
All.
Come on, how many of these things?
All.
How many of these things?
All.
Everybody say all.
All.
Oh, sound like what you got to give, right? But right there he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. So the prerequisite of me receiving all things, because all things already been given to me, right? Right? It's already done, right? So all things begin. So the way that I receive, James, all these things, the prerequisite, the thing that I got to do first is what?
Seek.
Now realize he didn't say find the kingdom of God. He said
seek.
So that's simply just start looking for it. Just go in the direction. I don't need you to find it. I don't need you to go on a journey to go find it. Just go. Look, could you just turn around? Could you stop looking at that and look at this? Could you stop watching that so much and just watch me a little?
Wow.
Listen. Wow. I didn't ask you to find me because I'm already everywhere. I didn't ask you to find me. But it's simple as just start looking. Are y'all getting that?
Yeah.
Just start looking. Just go in that direction and start looking in that direction. And he didn't say find these things. He said start looking in the direction and I'm going to add them things to you. Philippians chapter 3. Go. It's simple. I ain't asking for much, but I want it all. Philippians chapter 3, and I'll go back and do a little reading. But verse 14, it's our favorite one, ain't it? Come on, amen, it's our favorite one, right? Verse 14, read it, ready, read. Stop, read the first three words. Come on, say it again. He said, I press toward. He didn't say get on it. He said, I'm just pressing towards it. He didn't say I got to it, or I met it, or I found it, or I got the high calling, but I'm just pressing towards it. I'm just going in that direction. It's simple. I'm just, listen, it's simple. I'm just pressing towards that instead of anything else. I'm just pressing towards the high calling. Read the whole scripture. Ready, read. How you do it? In Christ Jesus. I'm just pressing towards it in Christ Jesus. I'm just pressing. He doesn't say get it or obtain it because it's not of your works because you're going to boast. But just press towards it. You mean? Just press towards it. Look, it's simple, y'all, and we make it more difficult. You're right here, right? And all he's saying is, come on, just turn this way right quick. Look, do this. You've been walking this way for so long. You've been walking over here for so long. You've just been walking, and life has been heavy. Wow. And you just walk. No, stop. Wow. And he says, just take a step, and all these things will be added. Wow. Are y'all getting it? Come on. I got to do it. You can see me because he said, this is where you've been walking. But your walk ain't been benefiting much. Right. You've been walking that way. He says this. Wow. Bam, blessing. Wow. Come on, y'all gotta get with me. Simple. Look. It's as simple as this. He said, seek and I'll add. He didn't say seek for 23 days, and on the 24th day, no. Add it. Press towards. I ain't asking for much, but I want it all. That's it. But it seems so hard to do that because we're so caught up. The trick is this. There's an influx and there's a drowning and a flooding of mass mind. When you turn on the radio, when you turn on the TV, when you turn on your phone, when you turn on the internet, when you talk to your friends, when you go to this and you go to that and you go here and there's a mass of flooding of somebody trying to get you to be something that they want you to be. Because they know if they can get your faith, they can get you to manifest what they want you to manifest. Are y'all hearing me? So there's a lot going on. Come on. We're gonna locate the deceiver. There's a lot going on. Catch him. He's not out here yelling. He's doing that. Like a circus. He's doing little stuff, and you don't even know what's happening to you. You don't even know what's going on. There's an influx. If it's that simple for me to just and step, then why haven't I been getting it? Because I've been deceived. Not only do he try to make you step in the wrong way, but he try to get you to run over there. And he said, it's okay. It's all right. You got to relax sometimes. It ain't going to hurt the chill. Grace got you. So grace becomes frustrated because it keeps having to drag you. Stand up, Troy. Stand right here. Put your Bible down. Grace becomes frustrated because grace knows that you're supposed to be over here. Grace looking like this. Like, let's go. We're about to be some champions. But grace frustrated because you keep doing this. Go that way. And grace got to grab you like this. Keep going. Go that way. Great. This is frustrating. Hold on. Time out. This is frustrating when I know we got to be over there. It is getting on my nerves. Would you please just turn around and walk with me? Trust me. Isaiah 119 says, if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good lamb. But verse 18 said, come, let us reason together. Just come and talk to me. Come, let's go. Listen. This is frustrating. Go. It's frustrating. Would you please quit? Would you stop frustrating grace? And then let grace carry you. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. What grace really does is, come here, Donnell. Come here, too, come here. Terrell, I'm sorry, I said too. What grace really does is, y'all sit down so y'all can see. Y'all sit down, what you see. What grace really does is, it turns you around, and then, come on, pick him up, pick him up. Come on, because I couldn't do it by myself. Come on, you ready? Grace really. Do you feel me? Can you feel me? You get what I'm saying, right? Grace will pick you up where you don't have to put your feet down no more. Listen to me. I'm trying to listen. We're searching for all kind of stuff and we got it already. And so we're doing all these different things. I'm not saying don't do it. No, what I'm saying is do it in the right direction. We all trying to be successful. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
Listen to me. Grace is there to pick you up and to take you further than you could have went on your own, take you higher than you could have jumped, and get you quicker there than you could have got there by yourself. Just take you there quick. That's what he's trying to do. But we've got to shoot our faith. First step, he on you. How quick it was you got saved? Come on, how quick you got saved? Come on, let's talk about it. How many remember your day? All right, listen to me. They said, listen, Jesus died for you. He paid a price just for you. All you got to do is accept him in your heart. Confess with your mouth. We know Romans 10:19, right? The Lord Jesus, believe in your heart. God raised him dead. And what happened? They didn't say 23 days. It didn't say a long journey. It didn't say you got to go on a walk to Mecca. It didn't say none of that. He said, you confess your mouth and believe in your heart, you're going to be saved right now. How quick did your whole life get saved? How fast was it? So why is it taking so long for all this other stuff? I want you to remember that. Which direction are you going in?
That's right.
When you go do whatever you're going to do this evening, y'all be seated, be seated, be seated. When you go do whatever you're going to do this evening, which direction are you sending your faith? Remember, the Bible says the curse causes shall not come. So every time the curse does come, there's a cause. That means you ate off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because that's when the curse got you, right? But the curse causes no cause, no come. It cannot just, the enemy cannot just do what he want to do with you. He doesn't have the power to be able to do that. So he can't just take you over when he wants to take you over. He got to use your own faith against you. I ain't asking for much, but I want it all. That's God telling you right now. You don't have, truth be told, can I tell y'all the truth or something? Yeah, you don't have enough to pay for your salvation. Truth be told, that scripture right there, to whom much is given, much is required. Truth be told, you don't have enough to meet the requirements of what was given to you. You can serve God for the next 120 years, let's add it up, 1,020 years, faithfully, and you still ain't got enough to pay the price that was paid for you. So God know he's not going to ask you for all that because you can't do all that. Y'all, we be forgetting that God know us. We be forgetting that God really know you already. Are y'all feeling me? So now, I'm not asking for much, but I want it all. I want everything. I give you a perfect one. Apostle, right now, apostle. What your needs are? What you want? Bring it to me. I'm looking around the corner. I mean, in the corner. Apostle, right now, is totally dedicated to hear from God concerning you. But he's doing it. He's not doing it for y'all. He's doing it for God. You know, Jesus ain't dying on the cross for y'all, huh? It was for you. You benefited from it. But Jesus only did it because the Father wanted him to do it. Come on. Can I prove it to you that it wasn't because of you? For God so loved the world that he gave, all right? All right. God loved you. God loved you. I receive it. God loved you. All right. I prove it to you. Because you know they were treating Jesus bad. You know the ones that crucified him was his kinfolk. It was church people. I prove it to you. You remember when he was in the garden?
Yep.
And it was time for him to go?
Yep.
He came and said, Lord,
yeah,
if you can, let the cup pass.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
What he's saying is, can we do I gotta die? Do I have to do it this way? I receive it. Do I have to do it this way? And I believe he was saying it because, Lord, you saw how them people was acting. You want me to die for these people that's coming to kill me? Come on, in your regular man mind right now, okay? Let's not go spiritual right now. In your regular man mind right now. Somebody getting ready to come and kill you. And you know you got to die for them. And all they got to do is say, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Forgive me of my sins. And bam, they saved. Well, I know that ain't going to happen. Some of us want them to suffer. They did me wrong, let them receive 100-fold. I can tell you, Jesus said, if I can, Lord, get this cup past me. I don't know if this is the way. I don't know if this is the way to do it. You want me to die for these people? I can believe it, because he lived down here for 33 years dealing with these people. Dealing with us. With us, all right. How many times in your life you think Jesus wanted to say nevertheless? Because you just don't follow instructions. You just don't do what you're supposed to do. Come on, me, I'll raise my hand. I know thousands and thousands and thousands of times. How many times you think it's a nevertheless for you? All right, now imagine him come and do it for you in all your nevertheless moments. And he's still right now interceding in your nevertheless moments. Are y'all understanding me? Jesus ain't doing it for, He did it for God. He did it because he loved God. He did it because he was listening to God. He did it because of his love for the Father. Apostle going to be studying all day long to come and tell you something that the Father told him to tell you. But he's doing it because he loved. I'm not saying he don't love you, but he loved the Father more. So all of his time is dedicated towards seeing what God wants to say. And so because his faith is going in that direction, everything works. I tell people every time they drive up in the church, you're driving up on a miracle. It ain't supposed to happen here in Darrow. This is not supposed to be 600 acres of land. These people around here mad now because we don't want to sell them none. No, you can't have none. This is for the Lord. The land is in God's plan. Too long. Y'all been owning land for too long. Now we got it now. All this. You drive up on it, all this paid for. That don't be happening in no church. All this stuff paid for. And all this stuff going on, and the will of God keep going on, and nothing ever stopped. You mean for 30 and 40 years, it keeps making constant progress, and nothing stops? You mean for 40 years, it's just been doing like this. And going up and don't nothing stop. It's because of the faith that's being appropriated to who God is. Listen, hold on. The same thing can be happening in your life. But you've got to. And step in the right direction. Listen, prove it to me. Well, I ain't got all day. I'm trying to eliminate your excuses. Can I eliminate? Well, I ain't got all day. I got to go to work. I ain't got all day to heat. See, that's why he get a pass. Because sometimes, I was talking to my brother, and I was talking. And we talk about different people in church sometimes. And sometimes you can sit up in this situation and you can be here and you can think you're more than what you are. And you can forget that you got to go for it. You can sit up here and get relaxed, right? And get all comfortable. You have to go. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, I don't have time to go there. He says, not as though I've already attained. No, it's 3. Not as though, right before press, not as though I've already attained. I act like I ain't got nothing. Although I've already apprehended it. He said, I already got it, I know. by the grace of God, I already got everything I need. But I don't act like I got everything I need because I keep pressing toward the mark. I keep walking in that direction. Listen, here's what Paul's saying. Here's what Paul's saying. I'm going to teach you something because you got a job and you got all this other stuff you got to do, right? You got different things you make excuses. All right, here we go. I ain't got all day like apostle. I ain't got that time he got. All right, here we go. So the Lord came one day and he started giving out stuff to his stewards. And the one he gave one, and the one he gave two, and to another he gave five. He said, according to their several ability. He said, I gave it to them according to the ability that they had to handle it and ability. So I ain't got 20, I ain't got 10 hours to pray, but I got 30 minutes. What you did with those 30? But you're praying 22 of them. According to their several ability. Then he went off and did what he had to do. And the five went and made another five. Y'all know the parable, don't you? And the two went and made another two. But that one. Went and dug a hole and buried the talent. Because I knew you was a hard man. I knew you was going to beat me, master. I knew you was a hard man. And I was just nervous. You're lying. That's how people come and pray to God. God, if you can. No, that ain't what he's looking for. Then God slapped you. Bow. Did you see I gave you my son? Bow. Why you think I'm a hard man and I gave you all that? So you're lying. You're lying. That's why, because it seemed kind of harsh. He said he took him and cast him out in the darkness, weeping and gnashing the teeth, huh? That seemed kind of difficult, huh? Because he was just scared. No, he lying. He wasn't scared. He was lazy. He wasn't scared. He was looking for an excuse. He wasn't scared. He was trying to get an excuse not to do what he was supposed to do. All excuses are dead today. I just murdered them. 187 on the excuse. I just murdered it. You ain't got no more excuses. You should be manifesting more than you are. Amen. Come on, say it loud. Amen. You should be manifesting more than you are. You should have more than you have. And you should be appropriating more faith to the grace of God in what God's will is telling you and not in all this other stuff. I receive it. Not in all this other stuff. Stand up.